Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets if you are like me and you love the college sports.
This is The Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Pablo Iglesias, outfitted by Iron Jock Apparel, streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Dancing down the sidelines, and they catch him now! The Badgers answer instantly. There will be no undefeated champion on Wisconsin with an unbelievable stretch drive to the championship game.
It's over. The Wisconsin Badgers win 17-9. They are the first Big Ten team ever to win successive Rose Bowl games.
That is the best college sports town in America.
The Jump Around, a Badger-dedicated show live on the ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels featuring me, Jim Rutledge, and Pablo Iglesias starts right now. And Pablo, we got a show for everyone today. Nick Boyd and Showy, Zach Showalter, join the show today. Nick Boyd in about 15 minutes, and then we got Showy coming up at 1 o'clock. So we are excited to get into all of it today.
Yeah, excited. Big win for the Badgers. Some good takeaways, some things as we wait. I just put an ask out to see if we get an update on Nolan Winter. We'll talk a little bit about that. But all in all, love the fight that I saw from Bucky. It was a little bit of a slower start, but they were able to turn it around.
Badgers had a game last night. They trounced Maryland 78-45. Only downer there was Nolan Winter, as you mentioned, going down with the ankle injury. Guard's son. Really coming through. Love that. Pablo, you're there, so I'll let you talk more about it. But
oh man,
the Badgers, I think we all agree now, Pablo, that seeding matters, and that win, take out Purdue the next game and see what happens in the Big Ten tournament. Let's get to that sixth seed. Sixth seed, I really like my Sweet 16 prediction to start the year. And Nick Boyd, who we're going to talk to, is a guy that has the confidence to get them there. But for me, I don't have any big takeaway from the game except for it was heartwarming. And I was like, it's interesting for guys like Carrington and Boyd to be transfers and then having their senior day, in Boyd's case, his third school. I'm glad that Badger fans gave them the proper amount of love, and I was happy for everyone on senior day, but especially because the game was such a blowout for the young guard.
It's crazy to think, too, because of the senior days and the senior night games that I've covered, I've seen a pair of losses. And the guys talked about that in postgame. John Blackwell remembered the pain that a lot of the guys felt last season when they felt short on senior night. They wanted to make sure that they sent out the four seniors in the best way possible. And it was almost a jarring moment when I realized, I'm like, wait, this is what senior night is supposed to feel like. It's supposed to feel like a good win, a hard-earned win, and you give the seniors the spotlights. It felt like multiple times for Nick Boyd when he was either on the court, they showed his video, they showed all four seniors on the Jumbotron, their special messages to the fans, and they all got loud cheers. But of course, when Nick Boyd's went up in the second half, he was just looking around, everybody was on their feet, he was throwing his arms up. You could see it on our ESPN Madison social channels across the board, and you could see the smile. I was in the second or the 200 level press box, and you could see how big that smile he had from that point of view. And I just love the fact that he was living in it. He enjoyed every single moment of it. And Greg Gard even pointed out to it that just it was so cool to get to see that.
But the moment of the night was,
of course,
go ahead, tell us.
Yeah, you were there. Isaac Gard, man. Yeah. It was, we're putting it out a little bit too. We were on guard watch the entire way. Our part-time teammate, Lauren Haney, who's been awesome in terms of turning content. She put together the reel of it with Isaac Gard, and when he got called in the student section, it reminded me when Brian Scalabrine was on the Bulls, and you get to hear those chants out, "We want Isaac, we want Isaac," from the student section. He comes out, he misses the first shot, but everybody just loves it when he releases the ball, and then all of a sudden he gets the pass, he takes a pump fake, everybody's looking at him take the shot, and then he releases a logo three. Nothing but net. The place explodes in the Kohl Center. It's like the biggest pop, bigger than probably Chucky's buzzer beater against Purdue. Man, it's like I'm getting messages of this was the best moment that I've seen in the Kohl Center. That's crazy.
The bench exploded, which tells you that he's loved. And he hit that shot, Pablo, with his father standing right behind him. And so that was truly remarkable. That's literally, and we'll move on after Riley's thoughts, the clip of the week. That's literally the only thing I cared about from that game.
That was awesome. And did you see, I don't know if you saw the video that the athletic department put out, but Greg Gard, he Isaac hits the shot, and then Greg, you can see, like, cracks a wry smile and is trying to, like, walk away and, like, calm down Nick Boyd and John Blackwell from freaking out and coming on the court. That those are the moments that make Wisconsin so special. Those are the moments that make your career. If you're Isaac, if you're a student at the Kohl Center watching, like, no one will ever forget that moment. And the fact that it was able to happen last night was so, so cool. Me and my roommates were watching on the TV. We went nuts. We exploded. We were yelling. It was so awesome. It was just, aside, if you take out the Nolan Winter injury, that was a storybook senior night. It doesn't get much better than that.
Absolutely. Let's get to our clip of the week.
Around these parts, there's only time for the best of the Badgers.
We don't know exactly where we are right now.
Why don't you own the Wisconsin football team?
We need to play better significantly.
They're spoiled rotten.
This is the clip of the week on the Jump Around.
Go someplace else. Go boo in a bar.
Yeah, it is. It's the clip of the week on the Jump Around. And today we're taking a listen to something our teammate Ben Brust had to say on a new show being done on the ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels, March Mode with Alex Strofe and Ben Brust. Here's what Ben had to say about the how you would deem the season a success if they don't make it to the second weekend.
I look at this Wisconsin Badger basketball season in the lens, I think it's fair, because unfortunately, all of the great games that we witnessed, even Braden Carrington's career high, 9 threes, beating Bronson Koenig's 8, I believe, against Virginia Tech in the tournament, like a first or second round game.
Certified ball knower.
Awesome, awesome game, awesome story. Kick the crap out of a team after coming back after that horrible loss against Oregon. All of the great moments, beating Illinois, beating Michigan State, who knows what happens with Purdue coming up on the road. It doesn't mean as much. Dare I say, it doesn't mean anything at all if they don't get to a second weekend of the NCAA tournament. So when I look at the lens of everything they're doing, I see them sitting at a 7 seed most likely right now.
So my question for you guys,
why are none of us on the show to talk about the Badgers?
That's one of the questions.
Okay. What the hell does Alex Strofe know about basketball?
I think that's
the
a
man can't get himself off the ground.
Can't get 95 pounds off the ground, that's for sure. But my question for you, we don't know the diagnosis of Nolan Winter's injury. If he is out for the season, is it still a disappointment if the Badgers don't make the second weekend?
Yeah, you set these standards, and with all due respect to Nolan Winter, and he's a key player, and obviously he's like their only big. This team isn't really a team that, when I think of how they win, Nolan Winter is auxiliary to it, a key auxiliary. Mm-hmm. So I'm not taking down what kind of player he is, and obviously he was on the show last year regularly, but this team is made to go, and guards win tournament games, and Ben Brust has said that before. So now, does he limit their ceiling? Absolutely. But I think if they get that 6 or 7 seed with Boyd and Blackwell and Rhodey and Rapp, all those guys hitting threes, I think there's enough there that they could get those 2 games with the guards, because rarely does a big make a massive difference, especially early, and especially because Nolan's not like the dominating big Kenyon Martin throwback sort of like, I'm going to own the paint type big. He's a Badger big, which they are bigs, but they move all over the floor. So for me, he definitely, if he is out for a long term, which I don't think he will be, he limits their ceiling, but I still think they can get to the Sweet 16.
Okay.
I feel like it's in the best way really goes to like Blackwell and Boyd need to perform at high levels, the levels that they've been performing at when we've seen them at their best. But I asked John Blackwell about this. What's your message to the locker room? What do you say? And he said, Nolan's a fighter, and we're going to make sure that we fight for Nolan just the way that he fights for us. It's next man up mentality. We've always been that way. This isn't necessarily something, as much as you would not want to lose Nolan Winter in your lineup, you still move forward as if, like, all right, well, if Austin Rapp is the guy, then Austin Rapp's the guy. If it's AB that's the guy, it's him. If it's Will Garlock, who Greg Gard said too, he likes the reps that he's been given as a pure five. They have a rotation. Now the question is, can those guys step up? It's not trying to fill the void that Nolan Winter might have on the score sheet, but again, it's, you know, focus on the two with Boyd and Blackwell, make sure that they're out at the top of their game, especially this time of the year, and then focus on, again, filling the gaps in terms of getting the minutes and making sure that you at least play tough defense down low.
And now we're moving on to the Twitter portal because we got Nick Boyd coming up after this.
It's time for the Badgers Twitter portal.
You may notice there's some new music for the Twitter portal. Oh. That is because we have to go to copyright-free music, and we're getting flagged for the last music being used. So today, quickly, before we get to Nick Boyd, let's start. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's right.
It's got a nice vibe to it.
This kind of helps me.
So University of Arkansas has officially signed a 5-year jersey patch sponsorship with Tyson Foods. Quickly, I want your thoughts on ad patches in general. And give me your prediction. Who do you think the Badgers will put on their jerseys in the near future? Because I think everyone's going to start doing this.
I think, yes, they're inevitable. That's my opinion on patches. And soccer's had it forever. Other countries have done it. It's just
baseball.
It'll quickly go away. I know NBA teams have it. It hasn't really detracted for me. Correct me if I'm wrong on this. I haven't bought a lot of jerseys recently. But, like, if you buy a jersey, there's no ad patch on it.
Typically not, unless you get, like, an on-field version.
Right, yeah. So, like,
I feel like you're a big nerd if you do it at that point.
Well, but if you bought, like, a game-worn, then obviously.
Yeah.
So, like, and you wouldn't really wear that. At least most people, if you buy a game-worn, you're framing that up. So it doesn't really affect much outside of, like, aesthetically you're watching and maybe you see the logo. So I'm fine with it. I think American Family Insurance.
That's what I was going to go with.
I think Steinhoffels.
They're
a big statewide type company. I think those are some of the bigger ones that you could think about might do something like that. If I think of like a Jones Dairy Farm or Gordon Flesh, like some of these big, and they're already Badger partners. I don't think like Ho-Chunk could do it because of the gambling side of it. But I'm just trying to think of like the most prominent Badger partners that you see out there that are locally owned. I mean, Exact Sciences is a very big business. I don't know if they would do that. I don't think they need. Same with Epic.
It doesn't seem like really their game.
No,
but
they spend their money. It's very much towards charity and very quiet. So I think it'd be AmFam could be number one there, but Culver's?
Yeah, that'd be
Culver's
fun.
Is on the court. I was going to say, get Carbon in on this, Jim. You think Nestor's down to slap their logo on a basketball
Nestor
jersey?
I love Nestor and Carbon, but I would imagine that the price tag is pretty hefty.
That'd be sick. Maybe
a little bit more of a statewide presence for my friends at Carbon World Health.
Yeah, I personally think it's going to be AmFam, and I don't think there's going to be any alcohol involved.
I doubt it. Yeah, Harley could be another one back in the day, but I don't think anymore. I still don't think Harley's the player anymore.
Yeah, once they stopped with the Bucks, it seemed like they kind of got out of that. But Pablo, any other thoughts?
No, I think AmFam's is a slam dunk here. Lack of better. Well, I guess it's football jerseys, but it could be across the board.
Yeah,
you never
across
know.
The board. Arkansas, it's for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, this I saw on the NFL's Instagram account. It's a little Instagram portal here. What's one topic you know more about than anyone else at the NFL Combine? We have Denzel Boston from Washington saying he's a baker. So for you guys, before we get to Nick Boyd, what is one thing that you know more about than anyone else in this office? Pablo, let's start with you.
The Muppets.
Okay.
I am just overly obsessed with the Muppets. Jesse Nelson has called me the ESPN Madison Muppet guy here in the office, and I love that title. I love the Muppets so much.
I'll go mainly on age, and I could do 90s, but I feel like the younger generation still knows the 90s, so I'll go 80s. Just the 80s in general.
Okay.
I feel like nobody in this office is going to rival my knowledge of the 80s, and I love 80s music. It's so campy and over the top, and you know, the hair bands, the arena music, and then the synth pop, all that stuff's great. Mm-hmm. And there's so many movies that are done now that still have the origins from the 80s, the Can't Buy Me Loves and Big and all those movies. So that would probably be it, even though I was only 0 to 10 in the 80s. But I think a lot of, for me, when you're in the 90s, the 80s is kind of your, and just like if you're born in the early 2000s or late 90s, the 90s are kind of your drop back there. And I know 90s are making a comeback a little bit as well. So I think the 80s is where I could excel.
Who's the director from the 80s movies, the coming of age ones again? It's John something, isn't it? Ferris Bueller, 16 Candles, Breakfast Club.
Holmes.
John Hughes.
Hughes, yes.
John Hughes,
yes,
that's Hughes. It. Yes.
Okay. For me, I'd go with the UFC, MMA, or jiu-jitsu, something in the combat sports realm. I'm very confident that my knowledge could rival and surpass anyone in this office when it comes to combat sports. Big fan. Love them.
What belt are you?
I'm a purple belt in jiu-jitsu.
Ooh, okay.
So I did taekwondo. I stopped around 15, but I was not, it wasn't black belt. What's below the black belt?
Brown belt.
Yeah. So, but I was like a half. So I was half brown belt, half something else, like the lower level one. So I was like, wasn't full brown belt when I ended up stopping, but I didn't get the black belt either. But I did a lot of Taekwondo coming up, and then I took, just for the free credits, I took some judo classes in college as well. Yeah,
judo's legit Olympic sport.
Judo honestly and Taekwondo both go hand in hand. But I'll put it on Karate Kid. Got me into it. But look, I don't fall. I mean, and Riley, you probably speak to that balance.
I'm gonna push you now.
Yeah, but balance
is important.
Yeah, balance is just one of those things that I've had, and I'll credit fully to doing Taekwondo when I was younger.
Karate for me, I can't remember when I last when I stopped doing it. I want to say it was somewhere in middle school, but I was right around the same with Jim. I was a second degree brown belt, I believe.
Okay.
I was one away from black, and I don't know why I stopped. Should have kept going. Maybe it was because more organized team sports, but I really regret that. If I could go back and do it, would love to get back into martial arts in general again, and you know, maybe pursue that black belt.
Hey, forward BJJ. That's where I do my jiu-jitsu, and that is it for the Twitter portal.
All right, we're going to get to Nick Boyd in a second, but during Steinhoffel's Make It Your Own event, creating furniture that fits your style is easy. Choose your fabric, select your finish, add the details. That will make it yours. Right now, at Steinhoffel's, you'll save 10% off store-wide, then you can take an extra 5% off special order and in-stock items, $999 or more. And if you need design help, you can get up to $200 off Steinhoffel's decorating solution packages. Shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. Nick Boyd coming up after this.
During Steinhoffel's Make It Your Own event, you can create furniture as unique as you are. Choose your fabric, select your finish, add the details that make it yours. Start with 10% off or more store-wide. Then take an extra 5% off special order and in-stock items $9.99 or more. Need design help? Get up to $200 off Steinhoffel's decorating solutions packages. Shop in-store and online at steinhoffels.com. Relax, it's Steinhoffel's.
We are thrilled to be joined by one of our favorite players, or at least I'm going to speak for it, one of my favorite players for the Wisconsin Badgers, Nick Boyd. And Nick, I'm biased in it because I'm good friends with Ken Lavica, the Florida Atlantic University play-by-play guy. And before you got here, so as soon as I saw, because I'm an FAU alum, and I know Ken real well, and as soon as I saw you were coming here from San Diego State to Wisconsin, I was like, I know that name. I know Nick Boyd, and we had Ken Lavica on the show. He said the Badger fans are going to love you. You have that dogging you, and you were going to bring a lot of toughness to the team. So what do you think of that advanced scouting report we got from Ken Lavica?
Yeah, I mean, first, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I'd love, but, I mean, Ken, that's my guy. I mean, me and Ken and I, he was traveling with us through the airports as our radio guy, you know, going whether it was United, American, Southwest, place to place. So we were able to spend a lot of time together. And, you know, he's seen the journey from day one, you know, from freshman year all the way up to a Final Four and then trying to, you know, repeat. So he knows the good and the bad about me. But I love Cam, man. He wrote one of my recommendation letters. So he holds a special place of my, I mean, his call. I don't know if you guys heard it. I mean, you're FAU alum, so, you know, his call for the Final Four game was, I mean, the Elite Eight game to go to the Final Four was, you know, it gives me goosebumps when I hear it. So, man, I love that dude, and I appreciate his scout. He always has my back.
Nick, I loved the hype that Ken gave us. And, again, just us studying the tape, getting to learn from Jim, too, an FAU alum, of just the hype that everything, you know, leading up to it, and you've delivered and then some since you've come to campus here. So I think I remember the first memory that I had was the season opener against Campbell. I remember you grabbed an offensive rebound and you just went coast to coast. I would say that it's not fair to say that it's a second gear. It just feels like that you're always locked in that mentality that you're going straight to the rim. You have you just truly have that drive. Tell us a little bit about, you know, where that started. What was it about the fearless attitude that you have? You're like, it doesn't matter how tall this defender is, doesn't matter what obstacles are in your way, I'm gonna score no matter what. Tell us a little bit about that tenacious energy that you have and where it started.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's when I was young. You know, I had, just like anybody, ups and downs when it came to my basketball career in high school, and you know, just having talks with my father, and he's telling me, man, if you really want to play basketball at a high level. I mean, I was on a JV team where I didn't really play much at all. And, you know, I always dreamed of being a college basketball player. And like, man, if you really want to play college basketball, first you got to work, and then secondly you got to be fearless. And you know, I gave it a try that JV season, and it started to work a little bit. Our minutes went from 5 to 10 to 15 to 20, and ever since that day, man, that was a pivotal moment in my life, honestly, where, you know, I was going outside in the backyard just shooting after practice, and that was my 50 or 25 shots. That was my extra work, and that's where that drive really started.
And so with this team, obviously the way your career, you had the success with the Final Four early, and now here with Wisconsin, you're kind of the old head. You're the one that's leading this team. You're the one that people are going to look to as this tournament rolls around. So how have you evolved as a leader over time, and even the way you use your skills from earlier in your career to now with the Badgers?
Yeah, I mean, I think, earlier in my career, at FAU, I was more, I set the table more, where I had guys where I could rely on, because, you know, I came from an injury where we had established scorers already. And then, you know, going to San Diego State really just challenged me in all aspects of the game, whether it was, you know, having the ball in my hands more, making decisions, aggressive, getting the shot at the late clock, and being a leader. I mean, I was a group of young guys who into their sophomore year, freshman year, and taking steps as being leaders and making big plays, you know, on the court. And, you know, that's on you as a young man when you're growing up in front of, you know, his guys. And that job to kind of keep them in check and motivate him every single day, and got to work. Ultimately, we were able to get to that March Madness, some memorable moments, because there was a lot of, you know, challenges throughout that year where as a young guy, you know, you might give in a little bit to the long season. So we were able to, you know, make it to March and out that dream at least, and have guys who've never been to March make it to March. And this year, man, I got no more next year. So you know, I'm leaving it all on the floor every single day, every single night. And you know, if I go down this year, whether it's, you know, tomorrow at Purdue, the tournament, March Madness, I'm gonna go down swinging. So there's no more of that.
Nick, I love the attitude, and we actually just put out on our social media platform too, one of our producer Riley Elk saying that you bring the energy to the Kohl Center unlike any other player. And we added to that asking Badger fans, Nick Boyd is the most electric Badger since fill in the blank. And one comment here from, I got to shout out Mark Wass out here, one of our fans, who had said, "It is not yet written, because we want to watch him in the tournament, because if he is on pace to keep doing what he's doing and lead a Cinderella run, he could be the best or the most electric Badger ever." Now, again, I know that you're one game at a time. You focus on chipping away at it. But when I say that back to you, that there's a potential that Badger fans see you as potentially the most electric Badger of all time, what does that mean to you in this one year?
I mean, look at my arm, man. I got the chills. I got the goosebumps when I hear that type of stuff, man. Like, man, it's a blessing, man. God really put me in a position, you know, every single year on this journey in college to just leave my, and, you know, it's points, ship, energy, is something. And I'm just grateful that the fans kind of, you know, be myself, accepted me for who I am. You know, my team, coaches, and the fans. It's called energy. Sometimes to people in the Midwest, it might be a little bit different, but I'm just, you know, who I am. I'm authentic through and through, and I just try to bring positive light and energy, and that's why, you know, God has me on this earth.
What has, obviously you've had some great coaches, what has great guard kind of added to your game and helped you improve throughout the season that you're going to take forward?
Yeah, I mean, man, Coach, he's challenged me. You know, we had a rough stretch. And I keep going back to, as I think about my last couple of regular season games, it's like just the journey and the different challenges I faced every single year, you know, and this like no other. We came in with a group, you know, who we thought was a really good group, and we've proven that here. And obviously it doesn't start in terms of the way we gelled and had each other's back on the offense and then as we wanted to. But you know, our perseverance, and you talk about guys in the locker room who've just like me came to the big stage and took some and fought back. It's going in a direction where, I mean, there's a lot of teams that really want to play us when we get hot. So coach challenged me, you know, with my leadership and then just showing up every single day. And as he's still learning me and I was still learning him, we just adapt into each other. And I think the challenge he really put on me the most was how can I make my teammates better, whether that's passing or energy, lifting them up in practice, challenging them in practice, competing. And I feel like that just ultimately made me appreciate, you know, my teammates more and the reason I'm here. And that's the, like I can just spread positivity and light and just have fun. And, you know, when you win, it's a little bit more fun. So,
Nick, I've said it on the show here is that, you know, Wisconsin owns the three best wins in college basketball, and I think there's been talk too nationally. I believe the national pundits have also said that here and there about the wins that you guys have had, two on the road, one at home. I want to talk about the Michigan game, and I want to talk about where it was, especially you took over, and also the Illinois game too. Both two insane road environments where you guys came back, you went toe to toe. What was it again about that fearless attitude? How do you channel that? I know you said early, you learned that early in life, but when it comes to those moments, was it the Final Four run? Is there something in your college career where you're like, yeah, this kind of reminds me of those moments. That's where I could lock in. And again, we could compete with anybody, and that's what really sparks my competitive attitude.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to FAU, man, where we played a lot of, we were the underdog most of the game. We stepped in the tournament or even playing those high major teams. And I mean, let's face it, that's what it was for us early on in the year. Everybody counted us out. And I don't know, it was just something about, you know, being counted out and being the underdog in a sense where, you know, we channeled the energy and brought each other that positive energy and came together as one. And I know, you know, I don't even know how to explain it. It's just like something takes over my body. Like, and I just get in a mode where it's just time to go. I got to do whatever it takes. And, you know, and I feel like, you know, that starts with toughness teams, whether it's getting in the paint, maybe fouling the other team or something like that. So just to settle the game and let the other team know that, you know, we're going to be fighting. So I don't know. It's hard to explain and put into words, but it's just why I love the game of basketball, because it just brings out, you know, what's best in me, and that's my competitiveness.
It also, I think, brings out some leadership in you, and you arrive on campus, and obviously you have the wins and you have the resume, but there's guys who have been here longer, the guys who have been successful here, but you've still clearly taken a leadership role. How did that come about for you, and how did you kind of just beat yourself, but also that yourself turning into a leader for this team?
Yeah, I mean, it was different in a sense. Like you said, guys who've had, you know, great success here, Nolan Winter, John Blackwell, guys who've been established in this program. And I mean, you talk about a program that's based on tradition and guys who stayed in the program and had the loyalty. So it was a little different. And I try to, you know, just really take a step back and speak when I really felt like I had to speak in a sense. And I feel like that allowed me to build a connection with my teammates where I wasn't just a guy coming in and just barking at them all the time. And as I've continued to show that, you know, I'm coming in the gym every single day and giving my all, I think they trust me and understood that I really wanted to win and do what was right. You know, that's the challenge when you come to a new program. People or teammates on the team don't know who's really about the right things. And day out, I try to prove that I'm about winning and I want what's best for each other, for, you know, our team.
Nick, what was the first thing for you when you stepped onto this campus, if it was for your first visit as a transfer or, you know, again, when you opened the relationship with Wisconsin, what was that one thing that truly convinced you right off the bat? You're like, yeah, this feels like the place for me. This Madison is where I belong. What was that first thing for you?
Yeah, it wasn't really really much about school, honestly. At that point, I just wanted to go to a place where first was the Big Ten. And then, you know, in my recruiting process, I looked at the Big Ten and other big schools, and I said, I think the Big Ten is the best league, where the best talent will be. And, you know, I want to be a pro one day, and I want to challenge myself. So I hopped in that pool of schools, and once Wisconsin reached out, and I, you know, obviously as a basketball junkie, I know the tradition, I know the wins, the losses, and all the championships Coach Guard and Coach Ryan have brought to the university, and just the consistency in you know, each year that Coach Guard has had prior to this one. And that's something I wanted to be a part of, winning.
Nick, you had, obviously, you know, you're averaging 20 points per game. You're setting records here as far as the most 20-point games in a single season by a player. So we were having some fun social media-wise. And do you remember Chuck Norris facts from back in the day?
Like the idea of like Chuck Norris doesn't do So we came up with some Nick Boyd facts. So we want to get your favorite out of these Nick Boyd facts. We have Nick Boyd doesn't break a press. The press breaks itself out of respect. when Nick Boyd calls for the ball, it apologizes for not already being in his hands. Nick Boyd doesn't miss shots. The rim occasionally just moves to make the game fair. Opposing point guards don't study film. They study survival. And then the last one I got for you is Nick Boyd's crossover didn't just shake his defender. It changed his defender's life priorities. So which one of those did you like the most?
Ooh, I'll probably go with all of those is good. I'll probably have to say the point guard one.
Okay. Yes.
And the basket moves, you know, I got a couple air balls in there. So, you know, the basket just sometimes.
I love
that. Good though.
I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, Nick, I mean, I remember the Michigan State game. It felt like that the basket was just clear in front of you. One moment that I felt like I wanted to ask you this in the post-game press conference, but John Blackwell ended up jumping into that and said that you launched it from State Street. I got to ask you, though, here, since we have the moment, did you plan on the Steph Curry long ball heat check? Was that going to be the shot that you planned out for? You know what? I got to get 20 before halftime. Did you expect it to be that shot? What was going on when you were dribbling the ball up court?
I don't know. I just seen Braden get it. And he grabbed. I was screaming his name from the time he touched the ball on the rebound and going down the court. He just flips it back. You know why I shot it? Cause I really don't shoot shots like that. For some reason, it's really something that takes over body when I'm playing basketball. Honestly, like especially when I get in a flow and a rhythm like that, and I just feel like as a human, I feel like I can do anything. But when it's like when it really starts happening, it's just it's time. It's 10. I don't even know why I shot that shot. And if I probably missed, I probably would have looked at the bench and smiled and just kept going.
You practice that shot, though. That's the question.
I mean, you know, every now and then I shoot some deep threes. I try to, you know, it's Kohl Center. I love the Kohl Center, but it's like it's a hard place to shoot sometimes in the Kohl Center. You know, the I don't know. It's just like the backdrop is it's a beautiful arena. So it's like the NBA courts, really, honestly, where it's like seems a little bit far. Sometimes you feel like it's going in and then it doesn't. But I don't know what was going on with me that day. Everything I shot was just falling around.
I got one more lighthearted one for you here. Obviously, you spent time in Florida, in California, now here in Wisconsin. So what's your favorite thing to eat in those three states?
Ooh. I mean, you know, down in Boca, you know, Italian food was good out there. I love Italian food, and we used to go to this spot right near Meisner. I forgot the name now, honestly, but just my Italian spot over there. I used to go to in San Diego, another Italian spot. It's a place called Barbusa. It's fire. Mm-hmm. If you ever get to go to San Diego, type that one down.
Okay.
Some of the best food I've had, and then out here, Naples 115. Have you heard of that one?
Yes, yes, yes. I've been there. That's a good spot. Yes.
Yeah, it's low key.
Yes, I know.
I love Italian food. I love Italian food, me personally. But you know, if I have to go, you know, steakhouse. I used to go to me and my teammates used to go to Morton's down in Boca. I don't know if you remember that where that one is at.
In a little shopping center,
San Diego. I didn't really do much steakhouse. More like tacos and Mexican food out there. Some of the best spots. Madison. I ain't gonna lie, Madison. You know, it's not the weather that those two cities bring, but it has some good food, so I'm not mad at it.
Nick, last question. last question for me. It really just again. Based off the personality here, it seems that you value pride instead of, you know, feeling like that there's pressure on you. Like you play basketball loose, you play fun, and again, it's about carrying that pride. What would it mean to, again, as we talked about a little bit, if you could be a March legend for this Wisconsin Badgers team, what would it mean to carry on that torch and to create a potential legacy with what you guys are creating here?
Yeah, I mean, message for myself, just for the guys on the team. You know, I talked to you the other day and I was like, man, like no matter what happens, no matter who says what, I mean, it's the time for me and you to create a legacy in the team as well, to create a legacy in March. And that starts, you know, obviously with these next two games to finish up the regular season and then go into the tournament in March Madness. So, you know, every single day I'm reminding him, hey, we got a legacy and let's make sure we do that. So it would mean everything. And that's the reason I came, you know, to be on the highest level, biggest stage and just show the world who Nick Boyd is. So.
Well, Nick, we're excited to see more of it as kind of comes to Nick Boyd's season here in March, where you've had a lot of success. So hopefully that residue from FAU, I've seen a lot of those guys, including the coach Dusty May, make deep runs in the tournament after leaving. Elijah won the title last year. So, yeah. So we bring some of that magic.
I was the odd one out last year. Now it's time to run it back. Everybody was Sweet 16 and beyond. Hopefully, you know, that's
it's been a long time since we had a Sweet 16 here. So, yes, Nick, we need to see that from you. So, we appreciate it. Yes.
Yes, sir. I appreciate
thanks,
you
Nick.
Guys
thanks
too,
for joining us.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate the love.
That's Nick Boyd. This is the Jump Around.
All right. And now we're going to be joined by Zach Showalter. And Riley, did you get a chance to talk with him on the phone there?
I did.
You had a
I
smile
did.
On your face. Is he a little bit of a legend for you?
Yes, he is, actually.
So before we bring him on, I want to hear your relationship with Showalter. Have you ever talked to him before then? Or like?
No, I think back and forth with emails before when we had him on one other time on the Jump Around. But I remember specifically the 2016 season where they knocked off Villanova. I believe, Zach, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but he took a big charge in that game to give the Badgers possession, which led to Nigel Hayes, his game-winning shot. And then I will never forget 2017, Sweet 16 against Florida. And I am still – I will never not be pissed that we didn't win this game because that was so cool. I was watching at home. You hit the floater to tie it up from three. You look at Aaron Rodgers, hit him with the belt. I was losing my mind back at home. I was just in high school.
I was going to say, how old were you? Because we're going to build Showy up and then we're going to knock him down. How old were you?
I was in high school. I believe I was a sophomore in high school when that happened.
So like 15, 16?
Yeah, 16 years old. I apologize. And then I remember after Chioza's buzzer beater went in, I was watching on my phone. It was just me awake in my house. I just threw it at my couch and just I had nothing to say. I just stared in silence for like a half hour before I went to bed. So I can imagine how that felt for you. But, yeah, so this is someone I watched growing up, Zach Showalter. Appreciate you joining.
It's so funny, guys, because time is flying. I feel like all of my biggest fans were in either young high school, like you're mentioning, Riley, or like middle school, elementary school. And now I see fans all the time in their 20s working. I'm like, dang, man, I'm getting old. Life comes at you fast. But no, it's all good. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Shohei, happy to have you here. I just want to jump off of what Riley had mentioned too of the buzzer beater and the discount double check belt move that you did to Aaron Rodgers. Have you know, were you ever in contact with him afterwards, or just that moment in general? Could you walk us through that special moment for Badger fans and what that was like on the floor?
Yeah, so that had kind of been building. I mean, we got to know Aaron pretty well over the years, which is pretty cool. He, as you know, his Andy North connection, he got to be around us during a couple of those runs in 2014 and 2015. So he was often in the locker room with us. Actually got to when the Badger football team played LSU in Lambeau. Pretty cool. Got to sit in the suite with Aaron and spend some time getting to know him in there, and John Kuhn and a couple other of his buddies that were in the suite. So another interaction there. When Decker got drafted, we were out in New York, in Brooklyn for that draft. I think that would have been 2015. And Aaron was out there as well. I think he was meeting with agents. So we got to celebrate with him the night that Aaron got drafted. So long story short, we got to know him pretty well. And QB1 of the Green Bay, I mean, we never took that for granted being in that situation as a Wisconsin kid. But long story short, getting into the tournament in 2017, obviously Aaron was a big fan. We had exchanged some messages back and forth leading up to the game, and he, I don't have the messages in front of me, but I think it was something along the lines of he sent me a message saying he wanted two dunks from me in that game. I did not have two dunks, but I messaged him after. I'm like, that was, I didn't quite get you what I want, what you asked for, but I hope that was a pretty good second option for you. So,
we are joined by Zach Showalter on the Yuengling Hotline. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America, and now officially in Wisconsin. So that's exciting. And Showy, one of the things that I wanted to ask you about as we again try to, I'm going to try to make you feel old because I feel old all the time. Isaac Gard, senior night. When did you meet Isaac around Greg? Like, I saw some reporters talking about seeing the Gard kids when they were tiny, and now Isaac is hitting threes on senior night.
Yeah, he was a little squirt, obviously. I don't know how old he was when I first met him. It was probably on a recruiting visit. So that would have been, I don't know, 2010, 16 years ago. He's, yeah. What is he now? He's 22, maybe?
Probably right in that range. Yeah.
I mean, I obviously don't live in Madison anymore, so it's been a couple of years since I've seen him. And I now see him and can't believe the man and the player. I mean, he moves around well. Yeah. Obviously, doesn't get a ton of playing time, but he's, I think I was, I saw a tweet before I hopped on that he shot. He was 50% from three in his career thus far. So I think his dad needs to call the coach and tell him he needs more playing time.
That senior night in general, though, what does that mean for a player? And obviously it's different now with the transfer portal, but, you know, specifically for Gard, obviously, you know, he was able to have kind of a career with Wisconsin, kind of an old school look at it. But then you got Nick Boyd, who gets his senior night moment in front of Badger fans, and I thought they did a good job of making him feel welcome and wanted. Same with a couple of the other guys as well. So
Braden Carrington, Andrew Rohde.
So how was senior night for you, and then how do you think it's evolved over the years?
Yeah, it's funny. I actually had a Snapchat memory this morning on my phone 9 years ago today. Henry, our trainer, you guys all either, I don't know if you know him or have heard of the legendary Henry Perez Guerra. The video was just him taping my feet. Said one last time at the Kohl Center was the memory, so I sent it to him this morning and just said, hope you're doing well.
Nice.
But I can't believe, it's 9 years already that happened. And I think the cool part about senior night now is that even though we only get to see these guys play for what, 5-6 months maybe, Badger fans have fully embraced this group, and this group is a ton of fun to watch, as I'm sure we'll talk about more. But it still feels like senior night, even though these guys didn't necessarily spend 4 or 5 years in the program. Obviously it's not the same connection that it was when we were playing, but I think that's a credit to Badger fans everywhere. And that's why guys want to come here in the portal, is you're going to get embraced. And if you perform well and give the fans some fun, they're going to love you.
Showy, I think what stood out to me being in the building was, one, Nick Boyd's just reactions in general, just soaking it all in. You could see the smile. I was in the 200 media press box, and you could just see the smile from ear to ear. And then he's waving his arms, just continuing, just really pushing the crowd to keep cheering in the best way and enjoying and appreciating that moment. When you go back to your senior night, as you mentioned, the Snapchat memory pops up. What do you think you remember the most, stepping onto the court for the final game, or as you stepped off and checked out of the game, or wrapped up the game? Which of those two moments stuck out to you more?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's definitely stepping off the court for that last time. Before it, you're still all business, and I believe we played Michigan State and won in a big game. I could be wrong.
Riley's looking it up.
I could definitely be wrong there, but I think we won. I should say I know we won. I think we won. But no, it's just leaving the crowd and the support I received over the years as a preferred walk-on that just had a dream of reaching the court at some point in my career. Obviously, I did that earlier than even maybe I expected, and had a phenomenal experience throughout. But yeah, leaving was tough. Best years of your life, obviously, especially with the groups that we had. But I should say that I'm now a father of two and loving loving what I'm doing these days. But it's definitely a special piece in the memory.
All right. Can confirm, great memory, Shoey. It was Michigan State that you guys played. They were number five in the country. However, you lost 68-63, unfortunately.
Okay, go back the year before then. I feel like we played them on my birthday, January 17th. It must have been the year before, and I think that would have been a big win if you want to dive.
You were
going to
seem extra owed if you got that one wrong. But we'll
yeah, if I'm in trouble, I'll just have to hang up if that was wrong.
Senior night was so memorable, it didn't matter if you won or lost.
It's a different meaning for senior night now for Showalter here. He's got the senior memory.
So what was the date you said? It was
January 7th.
January 7th.
It would have been
17th.
Yeah, 17th. I remember beating Michigan State in a big game, and I couldn't remember if it was my birthday or my senior night. So, again, 9 years, man. There's lots of that's happened in that period of time.
Yeah, you and Brust are not doing great for the the degrees for Wisconsin. You guys keep on messing up these dates and everything like that. But no, Shoey, with Nick Boyd and this team, and we had him on before you, and I remember obviously because I'm an FAU alum playing for the Owls in the Final Four. Yeah. But just in general, what were your thoughts when they brought in a guy like Boyd? Because he had a little bit of national recognition more than obviously Tanjay came in and was great, but we didn't necessarily know what he was going to be. Boyd was a guy who was on a team that got to the Final Four and was like a footstep away from getting to the championship game.
Yeah, I don't know why. I didn't really remember him from the FAU days, and then he played
San Diego State.
He was out west.
Yep, San Diego State.
Yeah, so that's way past my bedtime. I don't remember watching many. So I didn't really have any preconceived ideas about his game, but everything I heard in the off season from talking to guys, are like, this dude is different. The quote I had heard a couple times was, we haven't seen anybody move like him since Devin Harris. And obviously growing up, Devin was on a different level than everybody. So I immediately was like, all right, let's taper back expectations a little bit.
But sure, I want to pause right here for a second. I had to give these guys a look because we were talking about like some of the best Badgers of all time and like single seasons.
It's more than a look, man. Yeah, you gave us.
They both left Devin Harris like off the list. And I'm like, I'm sorry.
Oh, come on. That's credibility out the window.
Right.
If I told you so, had a look and a movement, a gesture, all of that, Jim perfected it. That's what that
someone,
was.
I mean, I'm still much older than Shoey, but at least someone else was like, all right, I don't have to be the guy, the lore of. I mean, Devin Harris to you is probably Michael Finley to me as far as the age, because I remember watching Michael Finley play as well. But like Devin Harris, there's a chance he could be in the Basketball Hall of Fame for what he did at Wisconsin and in Dallas, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a heck of a basketball player. Sorry, go on. I just had, I had to get my told to show moment in.
Yeah. No, I
had to say I told you so, too.
I was hearing good things about him all offseason. I didn't know that he could live up to some of the expectations that these rumors were floating out there, but I think he's surpassed all of my expectations. I mean, he can. I still can't believe how well he can get to his left hand when everybody knows he wants to go that way. But that's just the credit to his quickness in his first step as he catches guys off guard, and then obviously what he does in transition and how he shoots the ball. He's fun to watch. I haven't seen Bronson was one of the best pure shooters I have seen, and was a joy to play with, obviously. But I agree. I don't think we've seen a point guard this quick in Wisconsin system since at least Devin, if not ever.
Zach, I wanted to ask. I asked Greg Gard this too in early on in yesterday's game. Wisconsin comes out of a timeout, goes into an 8-0 run, and it was a desperate 8-0 run early on that they needed.
Yeah.
But how they were able to turn the switch so quickly, especially at this time of the year, and Gard had pointed out how battle tested they were. They clearly learned over time that this is a skill. This isn't something that just kind of happens. You learn over time to have that type of ability again to flip the switch when you're in a drought and turn on a dime fast. How valuable is it to have that type of skill at this time of the year?
Yeah, it feels like this team, all they need to do is see see one go in, and everybody else just feels like they're automatically going to make the next shot. I don't know if you guys would agree with that, but
yeah,
obviously there's 100%. a lid. Yeah, there's a lid to start the game. Nothing was falling, and you're in an ugly game with a Maryland team that's been flailing a bit. So it's good to see. I don't remember. My issue nowadays, full disclosure, not an issue. My blessing is that bedtime interrupts Badger games quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I'm piecing together games when I'm watching them. But I don't, somebody hit a shot, I remember, and all of a sudden, like you mentioned, it's 8-0 run.
I think from what I remember, it was the Badgers were 0 for 9 from 3, and then John Blackwell hits the first 3, and everything just goes from there. And the Badgers were able to keep control. So fill it in the gaps for you there on that one. Hopefully that helps.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously, Carrington has been a nice little surprise, nice big surprise for this team. I mean, anytime you can have a weapon like that off your bench, a guy who can put up 20 if he hits his first couple is dangerous, especially as we enter March, and we really haven't had a guy like that off the bench. I mean, any names come to mind for you guys of instant offense that we've had in the last 10-15 years?
Jim,
off the bench
there's some, it's hard to figure out who are bench players, but I mean, I would say he was probably number
Decker.
One. Yeah.
Decker when he was
I'm trying to think of like one guys were off the bench. Like Bronson came off the bench a little bit
Brevin
when they were
Pritzel
younger.
Off the bench. I feel like he could be a three. He came off the bench a couple times, knocked down some threes.
Yeah, when he was younger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, think like you talk to some of those guys, this is what kind of made Badgers basketball successful is that I mean, you came off the bench too and were someone that could score. Like when you had the best teams, you had guys that would come off the bench and score, and then they would kind of mold into a starter. So that's where he's different in the fact that like he's not molding into a starter. He is arrived and he is a not an exclusive bench player, but like he is going to be a bench guy. And most of the time the bench players for the Badgers were youngsters who had moments and showed flashes off the bench, but weren't like relied upon veterans and leaders like that.
Right. So that, I mean, that's where this portal is fun.
Yeah.
And Gardo's obviously crushing it along with the rest of the staff, which I think was a surprise. I mean, full transparency, I thought Marquette, not to bash Marquette, but I thought they would absolutely dominate us for the next 10-15 years in this new NIL world where you just throw money around and they only have a basketball team, obviously. So it's kind of been a nice, pleasant surprise. I think when you have a system like we're playing and now you've got a track record of your stores, your Tanjays, your four guys on the team this year, hopefully that continues to compound, and it's a we're a spot guys want to play and they elevate their game in Badger red and white.
Shoei, I got one more for you here, and it's strange that your team and look, Greg Gard's been successful, it's just in the tournament it hasn't been there. You're the last team that's gone to the Sweet 16 for the Badgers, which is just mind-blowing.
Yeah. 9 years.
Yeah.
9 years. Did you find that 2016 stat? Was that right?
You were.
Don't tell me I was wrong.
No, you got it. It was you guys knocked off number 2 ranked Michigan State January 17th, 2016, 77-76.
That's such an elaborate way for Shoei to get his birthday out to everyone. Yeah. I mean, goodness.
Nailed it.
Here's another. I remember I had a very bad high ankle sprain that game. And I'm not putting pressure on Nolan here, but I remember taping the SHIT out of it. I don't know if I can spell that.
We're on YouTube, so you're good. Yeah, you're good.
Okay. Yeah, taping the shit out of it and limping around, chasing around ball screens, and we got the job done. So hopefully his ankle's feeling better than mine was that day, but it's doable if it's an ankle sprain.
I love that you went full Tarek Sala on that, by the way. Tarek Sala. Because, again, when you have young kids, you think you can spell things on the... If we were on the radio, just for the future reference, if we were on the radio, you couldn't spell it either. But we're not on the radio. We're on YouTube, so you can do whatever you want on YouTube. So it worked out. But
that's where Riley... Riley gets paid the big bucks. Yeah. You pick that up, right?
Yeah. No, we're all good. It was fine with what you said. It's just hilarious because you have kids and you just try to spell a swear instead of saying it. The last thing... Yeah, there you go. The last thing I got for you, speaking of a guy who sometimes messes up on the radio, do you got a little fun, whether it's more recent or whatever, but anything on Bruss for us?
Not really. He's going to be on my Holy Cross team coming up. Nice. We play end of March, so I don't think he's in the best shape from what I've been hearing. So
yeah, give us a scouting report back on the last time you played with Bruss. How about that then? Give us a scouting report on his game.
Well, I'm a coach. Okay. I mean, yeah. I am washed up. I tore my Achilles 3 years ago, and that was the last time I've stepped on a basketball
court. Don't blame
me. So I'm in no position to talk. I'm a golfer these days, a dad and a golfer and a financial advisor. So
living the dream.
What I stick to. Exactly. But yeah, Ben, it'll be fun to see what he's got if he decides to lace him up and give it a go.
Awesome.
Hey, Shoey, one more one last one for me, I should say. Again, you mentioned you were part of the last team to go to a Sweet 16. If you can go into that locker room and talk to the guys and kind of get them to, you know, get the pressure off their shoulders, what would you say to them as they hopefully try to make a magical run here in March?
No, that's a good question. I think obviously you don't want to put too much weight on this, but it's the best couple of weeks of your life, and if you can put together a couple wins here and keep building and extending your run, you just have so much fun and you build so many memories with the guys in that locker room, and that's the best part about it. Obviously the winning and all the accolades and recognition that comes along with it is great, but you want to continue playing deep into March and spending more time with your guys, because that's what you're going to remember for years to come.
Well, Shoey, we appreciate your time. We know you got to get back to your day job, so thank you.
Appreciate you guys. Good to catch up.
All right. That was Zach Showalter. This is the Jump Around. Of course, all guests join us on the Yuengling Hotline. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America, and now officially in Wisconsin. Pablo, Riley, it's been a fun show. If you missed it, Nick Boyd and Zach Showalter, a heck of a show from us leading into March here. So this has been the Jump Around, a Badger-dedicated show on ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube channels.